are to be men of God.
Men's hearts have to be woken up.
As a father, my job is to make sure my children get to heaven.
I think the timing is absolutely right. I think that we're on the verge of an incredible renewal within our church.
Welcome to the King's Men, building up men in the mold of leader, protector, and provider.
I felt a real thirst to want to know about God.
Iron sharpens iron, men sharpen other men.
A part of man's natural calling is to protect society, to uphold the common good, to make a difference.
And now, here is your host, the co-founder and president of the King's Men, Mark Houck.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome to the King's Men. I am Mark Houck, your host, with you second and fourth Friday of the month. Wasn't with you last month, second Friday, I should say. Last month feels like last month. Wasn't with you second Friday. I was actually in Arizona for our Into the Wild Outdoor Experiential Retreat. So plugged the program in there. I understand it was a great program with Barry Phillips talking about financial retirement and issues, financial management issues. Do you worship your wealth? It was a good program. Check that out at holyspiritradio.org if you'd like to see that program. Last time we were here, we were giving a tribute to Kathy Gasson. Praise God for her contribution to Holy Spirit Radio over the years. She has gone home to her eternal reward, and we pray for repose of her soul. And we will do that this morning. Remember her and lift her up. Many of you knew Kathy, and you know the great contribution that she made here at Holy Spirit Radio. She ran the program here for the King's Men whenever we would come in, and she was like a mom to myself and Alan Zelno when he would come in, and of course Chuck Harvey when he would fill in for me. Just a wonderful lady who really just nurtured everyone she was in the company with. So we remember her. We think of her often. We pray for her intercession, because if she sees the face of God right now, guess what? She's a saint in heaven. We can pray to her. And also, if she's not in heaven yet, we want to pray for her soul. So the holy soul is in purgatory. We want to pray for her soul too. So let's not neglect those that have gone on before us. Let's think about them. Today is the feast of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. And we'll talk a little bit about John the Baptist today. This program today is going to be an update show. We do these every once in a while, especially when we're away. We want to update you on all the good news of the King's Men. And if you're not familiar with the King's Men, we are a full-time lay apostolic work here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. But we've extended our nets beyond the Archdiocese. We're currently working in about 26 dioceses right now. We just returned from the Diocese of Gallup, New Mexico, where we did our outdoor experiential retreat into the wild, and we will be returning to Hickory Run next month, or actually today, August, the beginning of August, not next month, but in about 40-some days. We'll be in the Diocese of Allentown once again, and then we'll be returning to New Jersey, the Diocese of Camden, next month for the Samson Retreat. We'll talk a little bit about that. And we did the Archdiocese of Chicago. We did the Mask and Genius Institute. So I'd like to update you on all those wonderful things, because a lot has happened, a lot going on in our lives. We're busy people. We just had Father's Day. So we'll talk a little bit about fatherhood today as well. It'll be a podge, a potpourri of a show. So I hope you stay tuned. You're welcome to call in always. Call in numbers here at Holy Spirit Radio are 215-345-1570. That's 1570 a.m. on your dial in the Bucks County, Doylestown, Philadelphia area, and 1420 a.m. in Chester County, Coatesville area. So looking forward to all that we will share today. Let's begin in prayer. We always begin with St. Augustine's Prayer of the Holy Spirit. So if you know it, please join. If not, just hear these wonderful, beautiful words. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. And we ask St. Augustine to pray for us. Of course, St. John the Baptist to pray for us. And the patron of Holy Spirit Radio, St. Joseph, to pray for us. So we have begun the program as we should, as we begin all good things, by blessing ourselves. So anyhow, let's dive in a little bit to this feast of St. John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the beautiful Magnificat, tells us that his birthday is celebrated today. Why does the church celebrate the birthday of John the Baptist? Because John surpasses all of the prophets, of whom he is the last, all right, the Old Testament prophets. He goes before the Lord in the Spirit and the power of Elijah. John the Baptist is the Lord's immediate precursor or forerunner, sent to prepare his way, who inaugurates the gospel from his mother's womb, right? Remember, he leapt in Elizabeth's womb when Mary came to visit Elizabeth. John the Baptist proclaims the imminence of the consolation of Israel. He is the voice of the consoler who is coming. With John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit begins the restoration to man of the divine likeness. Boy, those are some powerful words, right? With John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit begins the restoration to man of the divine likeness. God becoming man, the man God. We are made in the image and likeness of God, and he comes down to earth, and John announces that good news, and the Lord is brought into this earth, and through John's prophetic witness, we are prepared. So we must think of that in light of today. The Lord is coming again, right? The Lord is coming a second time. Are we being prophetic witnesses to that? Think about that on this feast of the Solemnity of the Nativity of John the Baptist. How can we be more like John? How can we be more like John the Baptist in our life, in our daily life as husband, as father, as son, as brother, as sister, daughter, mother, wife, grandmother, grandfather? There's a lot to think about there. Are we giving our lives to Christ in that way? Have we surrendered everything? I think St. Francis de Sales, I talk about this in my book, Courage Brothers, A Call to Answer the Crisis in Masculinity. I talked about how Francis de Sales says when he thinks of the saints, he can think of none humbler or more humble, if that's the right way of saying it, than John the Baptist. He has the greatest amount of humility. Why? Because he's the cousin of Jesus Christ, and he's within miles of Christ, right, throughout his whole life. He could go see Jesus. He could go spend time with him, especially after he sees the Lamb of God. He could have left his desert proclamation and call to repentance where he's baptizing everyone. No, but he stays. Francis de Sales says he stays where he is, and he continues to do the work that he was called to do, to be that voice crying out in the wilderness. Okay, he says, I am not worthy to unfasten the sandals of the Lord. And so his great humility, he's the cousin of Jesus, and yet he's so close to him. Don't you think in his heart he was burning to just be with the Lamb of God, to be with Jesus, to spend some time with him, to sit at his feet? No, he denied himself that, and he continued about the work that he was called to do. Can you think of that humility? This is what Francis de Sales meditates on a little bit, and he says, John went into the desert at 5 years of age. This is what tradition tells us, right? Sacred tradition. We have sacred tradition, of course, sacred scripture. We hold them both up. But the oral tradition that's been passed down to us, we've heard and we know from the early church that they believe that John went into the desert at 5 years of age. Can you imagine that? I have a five-year-old. I could never leave her alone. He went out in the desert and began to prepare for that public ministry that he had. And he lived off of everything that God provided for him. Think of leader, protector, provider. The mission of the Kingsman Apostle is to build men up as leader, protector, provider. Think of how the Lord provided for that young boy at 5 years of age. Now, this wasn't uncommon. I mean, obviously, Mary was brought to the temple at a very young age. People kind of were ushered in a lot sooner into adulthood. You know, Mary was 14 years old when she married Joseph. So, you know, things are a lot different today than they were then. People weren't living as long, of course, but people began their life a lot sooner. We were just out in Arizona, and Father Dan Cassis, a wonderful priest in the Diocese of Gallup, was our chaplain, and he was talking about just how men today are just still boys and living a life of adolescence way into their 30s, and they just don't want to grow up, and they're just this prolonged, delayed adulthood, prolonged adolescence, I should say. And he was saying that, you know, when our bodies start to change, and I thought this was just very interesting, I was reading recently about hormonally, a 9-year-old boy increases hormonally by 20 or 50% or something like that from what they have previously. And Father Dan commented on, he says, our bodies are preparing to have children, to make babies, he said, and these are where the hormones come. And I thought, boy, isn't that so true? As we think of young boys being ushered into manhood, usually around 13, 14 years of age, in the Jewish tradition, they would go to Jerusalem in Jesus' time, and they become a man of the law, right, at 13 years of age. And so Jesus is going to Jerusalem when he's 12, and so we see the journey that all the young men would take, and they would become a man of the law. And so anyhow, people were growing up and becoming a man a lot sooner, and women would be entering into their maternity a lot sooner. But today it's not like that. So when we think of John the Baptist going into the wilderness at 5 years of age, you got to kind of put that in context a little bit. But think of just the wonderful provision that the Lord gave to this little boy. And how he just detached himself. I think as Father Larry was just talking about, service, the servant heart of John the Baptist. That's something we could all emulate. You know, in the Gospel of Luke today at Mass, we hear about Elizabeth and Mary, and when they talk about when she had the time had come for her to give birth to her son. We see these wonderful words that he will be called John, and Zechariah finally declares that. And they say, there is no one among your relative who has that name. And why are you giving this child this new, different name? And because remember, the angel appeared to Zechariah and said the boy's name would be named John. So they made signs, again, asking the father what he wished. And he declared, as he wrote on the tablet, John is his name. And they were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened up because he was struck dumb because he doubted. He doubted the prophecy of the angel to him about his wife bearing a child. And so therefore he was made dumb and he would not be able to speak. But then that all changed, of course, when John came into the world. And we know that Jesus said that there's no greater man born of woman than John. But what they say about this child, what then will this child be? The neighbors, when they all gather around Elizabeth and Zechariah, when they saw that Zechariah's tongue became free, right? They said, wow, something special here. What then will this child be? For surely the hand of the Lord was with him. The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the desert until the day of the manifestation to Israel. So we see that kind of confirmation of the child going into the desert very early. Just think about that in our lives today, folks, especially as fathers. We just celebrated fatherhood. Think about going into the desert on behalf of your family. Think about coding your family in prayer. Men kind of having that desert experience, getting up before the family wakes up, beginning your day in prayer, coding that family in prayer. Be the last to go to bed, man. I don't mean stay up and watch TV while everyone's sleeping. I mean, close your day in prayer. Put a citadel around your house, okay? Your family. You, with prayer, you are that citadel, morning and at night, certainly throughout the day. But think of that desert experience where we go off alone. Father Larry was talking about iron sharpening iron, where men need another man to sharpen them, to challenge them. As fathers, we need that. As we talk about fatherhood and becoming better fathers and what that looks like, there are all sorts of wonderful programs out there in the church. Really, there are. It's amazing. I mean, a lot of people think, there's a crisis in manhood, and there is. But there's a lot of good stuff out there for us as men. Here locally, we have, of course, the King's Men. We have a lot of good local men's groups. We have the wonderful That Man Is You program that is coming to this area a little bit. It's a great program for fathers and husbands. But when you think about really entering into that desert experience, sometimes it takes a retreat experience. Sometimes you just got to detach from the world. It's one thing to go to a weekly men's group, and we have 50 of them, and they're great. We have about 10 locally here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Check out thekingsmen.org if you want to learn more about them. But if you really want to begin and just start to transform. Maybe you've just been walking, you know, the road that, not the road less traveled. You've been walking the road that everyone's walking, and you've kind of been following the leadership of others and the culture and the cultural tide. And you want to make a change. You want to go to that road less traveled. You want to start walking down a new path. For a lot of men, it begins with a retreat. When we come back from our first break, we're going to talk about the Arizona Into the Wild retreat. We just did a retreat in Arizona, Sholo, Arizona, and it was amazing. Jesse Romero was our keynote speaker. It was incredible. Again, Father Dan, as I said, Father Van Hager was with us. His swan song, if you will, with Into the Wild. He's heading back into the missions. It was amazing. Celebrated his 43rd year of priesthood. His anniversary was out there with us, and it was just an amazing time with 60 guys. We were blessed. It was anointed. Got some great stories to share with you from that when we come back. But it was a retreat experience. And for a lot of these guys, this is where their journey into manhood, for a lot of guys, they're still in the sixth grade, just getting out of CCD class, kind of in formation, maturity level. We're really bringing them to a new level of adulthood, maturation in the faith. They're starting to begin their formation where they should have started when they were in eighth grade. After confirmation, that was the beginning, and they just, for whatever reason, they just let it lay dormant, and they didn't do anything with it. And so now the Spirit is awakening these men, and they're coming on retreat, and they're having a powerful epiphany experience, and they're starting to see that there's a greater call to their life outside of just what they wanted to do. And so, again, this happens for many men on the retreat. So we'll talk about how you can come on retreat with the King's Men, especially in August, or at a healing retreat if that's what you need. We'll talk about that a little bit. But we're gonna talk about Arizona first, because amazing things did happen. And I want you to hear the good news, the testimonies, the witnesses, the firsthand experiences there. So after our first break, we'll get into that. We'll also talk a little bit about the Masculine Genius Institute, which happened in Chicago May 18th to the 20th, and that was incredible. We got some updates with that. And then, we'll probably be mostly talking about those things. And then we have some exciting events coming up. Also, the King's Men 7th Annual Golf Outing, if you'd like to be a part of that. We continue to do these things to support our apostolic work. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this first break.
Living Every Day with Passion and Purpose Live is an extraordinary event in just one evening that will help you see your life, your relationships, your faith, and the world in a whole new way. And it's coming to Bucks County. Join internationally acclaimed speaker and New York Times bestselling author Matthew Kelly and award-winning singer-songwriter Elliot Morris at St. John the Evangelist Church in Morrisville on Friday evening, September 16th. Living Every Day with Passion and Purpose Live has already been a life-changing event for tens of thousands of people. So we urge you not to miss this opportunity to learn and understand God's plan for your life. For more information or to buy tickets online, visit dynamiccatholic.com/Morrisville. Or you can purchase tickets in person at St. John the Evangelist Parish office at 752 Big Oak Road in Morrisville. This will be a sold-out event, so get your tickets now.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
This is Holy Spirit Radio.
To the degree that we love as God loves is the degree to which we have reached Christian perfection.
Proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ.
Welcome back. Here we are. Let's see, Friday the 24th of June. Unbelievable. It's already the 24th of June. Unbelievable. Hopefully you're having a good start to your summer and you had a good Father's Day. We had a Father's Day special. I'm going to put that out on the airwaves. We did this on Father's Day among our local regional directors for our Into the Wild program. And I want to give that out to you. If you want to come to Into the Wild, and again, I'll give you the website for that. You can check that out, intothewildweekend.com, if you'd like to learn more about this outdoor experiential retreat. We're going to have one at Hickory Run State Park. That's in the Poconos. That's about a 50-minute drive from Quakertown, the headquarters area of the Kingsmen. So if you'd like to come, fathers bring their sons, I'm going to give out a special $75 off discount today, just for today only. So if you want to go, now, to come, it's around $295. You can get a special father-son deal, get you about about $260. But I'm going to give you $75 off today if you want to come. You got to call me or email me today if you want to take advantage of this. Now, I'm just making this offer. It was a Father's Day special this past Sunday that we gave to our regional directors, and I'm going to give it to you, our listening audience. If you know someone that wants to come, if you want to call and gift that to them as for a birthday gift or Father's Day belated gift, you can contact me, mark@thekingsmen.org, or call me, 267-980-5507. I'll give those numbers out again, 267-980-5507. I'm giving a Father's Day gift of $75 off for our Into the Wild retreats. So again, you got to take advantage of that today if you want to. Give a call, give an email, mark@thekingsmen.org. You can get all my contact information at thekingsmen.org if somehow you didn't have a pen handy. But or call the radio station. They have my information. They can get in touch with me. But that's a Father's Day special. So we had a lot of fathers in Arizona recently, in Sholo, Arizona, a beautiful private ranch where we were last year. And we had about 60 guys come out for an amazing outdoor experiential retreat. And we had Jesse Romero with us. Jesse Romero is an outstanding apologist and evangelist who lives in the Arizona area now. He used to live in the San Diego, L.A. area, I should say. Former sheriff, kickboxing champion. He was with us with his son, and he gave the three leader, protector, provider talks, and they were amazing. Honestly, the guy just has a gift. And he really set us on fire. He really lit a fire in our bellies and truly inspired us all. And so we have those recordings. We're going to make them available. We'll probably distribute them on a wider scale. But this is the type of things that are happening at Into the Wild. We have amazing talks. We only give one a day. We have amazing priests, one homily a day, one mass. And we have the Lord in perpetual or 24/7 adoration, I should say. It's not perpetual since it's a 3-day retreat, a 3.5-day retreat. But 24/7, the Lord is adored. And once again, the Lord was in the A-frame outdoor chapel. It was beautiful, amazing encounters with Jesus in that A-frame. Last year, two of the men actually saw Jesus appear to them outside the Blessed Sacrament, just like in bodily form. Amazing, amazing experience for them. And once again, the Lord did not disappoint this weekend with his hand being on the man. The guys built Stations of the Cross. Now, we've never done this at Into the Wild before. We always build an outdoor church. Well, at this particular ranch, it's a private ranch, and so it's owned by a benefactor of the Kingsmen. And we built a church there last year, and it's beautiful. And he allowed us to keep it intact. Usually, we have to tear it down and return the forest to the way we found it, no trace policy. But in this particular instance, the first time that at a private residence where we were able to keep the church intact. So he had it all stained, and it was beautiful. It looked even nicer upon a year later of return. So we decided to build Stations of the Cross, and Rusty Taft from Quakertown area did a great job as the foreman, really executing this with the guys. And this is something we do at our Samson retreat. So we thought we'd do that at Into the Wild, and boy, did the men embrace it. It was really, really powerful. We had these little tea lights that lit it all up at night, and the guys created a beautiful Stations of the Cross, which we'll continue to develop. But that was just a wonderful first for the Kingsmen at the Into the Wild, where we We had this outdoor experience. We had the men, of course, with the firearms training, the archery training. Young Trevor Henry, who we brought out here last year to spend some time with us, led all those things. And the guys loved it. They ate it up. Jesse was one of the firearms instructors. And the guys just had a great time. Fathers with their sons. Older men with their older sons. Had about two or three of those pairs there. And that was really a beautiful witness to see the men, you know, with their older sons and the grandfathers participating with them and really bonding with them at a deeper level and just the wisdom that was imparted. We saw the story of the rosary and the miracles on this weekend. The guys seemed to share every kind of end of the wild has its theme and different things that take, you know, take along a life of its own spiritually. And at this particular retreat, it had to do with the rosary. And we prayed the rosary every morning. But guys would get up and every night they'd share a miracle of the rosary in their life. And so what did that impress upon us as men? Pray the rosary, right? We need to pray the rosary. Boy, man, this is something you need to do. It's not an old lady's prayer. It's not the pillars of the church that you see every day at daily mass who are praying the rosary, and that's only for them. We have to use this weapon to our advantage. We have to pray the rosary, not because Mary tells us to pray the rosary, because we're meditating on the life of Jesus. And of course, Mary. And of course, as we have John the Baptist today, we have the Annunciation, we have the birth of our Lord, we have the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan, which certainly that's the focus of John and Jesus encountering one another there in the Jordan. But this is so important that we're praying the gospel. And so it unleashes a floodgate of graces upon our lives. There's so many graces that flow through the rosary. There's 15 promises of those that pray the rosary, says St. Dominic. And one of those is signal graces. And those are signposts, as I like to say. And I've talked about this before on the show. But it gives us an indication of where we're supposed to go. If you're a faithful prayer of the rosary, daily rosary, okay, you keep that personal devotion. Now, these are private devotions, right? You know, saints are made on these things, right? But you can pray another prayer. Personally, for me, I would say outside of the Mass, which is the most powerful prayer we have, that I believe that the rosary is the most powerful prayer that we can pray. Certainly before the Lord and the Blessed Sacrament would be wonderful, but in your car, I just prayed on the way down here for the program. I prayed for you, our listening audience. I prayed for the staff here at Holy Spirit Radio. And I pray for all of our friends and supporters at the Kingsmen. But it's just a wonderful thing to do. And so these guys at the Arizona retreat were talking about these miracles and what happened in their lives when they started praying the rosary. The direction that they got with their lives and where they were supposed to go, the protection that they received, the healing that came. There were just too many to even get into. Jesse actually got up and shared a story how, if you remember the Rodney King beating in L.A. back in 1994, I believe it was, Jesse was an L.A. cop at the time, and he lived right around the corner from where that happened. Now, he told me a little bit more. There was quite a rap sheet on Mr. King, but anyhow, it was wrong what the cops did. But the point of the matter is there are big riots that resulted from this. And if you recall the looting in the streets of Los Angeles, it was pretty bad. Well, Jesse shared a story how he had to go. There, all the police were called in for like a week of lockdown. They're all going to be working for a week. Maybe it was 2 weeks. And they were, all vacation was canceled. Jesse was off at that time and he was called in. They needed all hands on deck. So his wife said, please don't drive over where this happened, because what was happening was riots and the gang members were coming together and they were uniting all different gangs, and they were causing a lot of violence. And there were no police dispatched to this area. So it was kind of like they were kind of running the area, the martial law, I guess, for the gangs, and they were kind of running the area. Well, Jesse was curious as to see what was going on. His wife said, please don't go. A woman's intuition, please don't go. And he decided, oh, sure, honey, and he decided to go there. What he saw was these cars were lining up to get through the area. And unless you were an African-American, a black gentleman or a woman, they would beat your car, punch you in the face, and allow you to go through. But then you had to kind of get beat down, and they beat up your car, and they beat you, and then allow you to go forward. Well, Jesse had his rosary in his hand, and he saw this all happening. And he had his Dodgers jacket on, but he had his uniform on underneath, and he was very scared for his life because if they knew he was a cop, he probably would have been killed. Well, he was praying his rosary, and as he comes upon, as he called it, the car wash beatdown with these men, he had his rosary on top of his steering wheel, and one of the leaders saw him praying the rosary. And now remember, he's not an African-American gentleman. He's a Latino gentleman, Jesse is. And so he saw him pray the rosary. And he said, no, 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 no. This one can go through. Let him go. He let Jesse go right through. And it was just a story. You know, that was nothing more than that. I think Jesse writes about it in one of his books. But just again, to reiterate, the power of the rosary. So important, men, that we pray this prayer that was given to us by Our Lady through Saint Dominic. So there's so many stories coming out of Arizona, so many wonderful things that I really don't have time to get into, but I want to tell you that this awaits you as a man if you're listening. If you're a woman listening and you're tuning in, you're like, how come, you know, we're not listening to John F. Bankovic or whoever? Well, you have the Kingsmen radio program today, and we're a local program here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, right here at Holy Spirit Radio, and we're talking a little bit about some local programming. So we have typically national programs, but we have this local flavor here, which is wonderful. We have a special invitation. I just gave out a $75 discount offer today for any woman, man, son who wants to call me or contact the radio station to come to End of the Wild Father's Day special. I'm extending it a week later to you, our listening audience at Holy Spirit Radio. If you'd like to come to End of the Wild, I'll give you $75 off. Regularly $295, early birds $265. You would be able to come for $220. That's a steal. Again, you got to reach out to me. Let me know if that's something you're interested in. IntoTheWildWeekend.com if you'd like to register. All right, so that was Arizona. Let's talk a little bit about the Masculine Genius Institute. This was an incredible experience. I hate to keep using adjectives like that, but it was. I don't want to like just make it sound like everything's incredible, but I got to tell you, when you're doing the work for the Lord, it's not easy. You know, there's a lot of sacrifice, a lot of hardship. There's a lot of struggles. But when you have the blessing of Almighty God upon you and the work that you're called to, I tell you, amazing things happen. And we descended to the Archdiocese of Chicago with the full blessing of Archbishop Šupić, and we had 30 men and women attend this inaugural summit for the Masculine Genius Institute. This is a program under the Kingsmen Apostolate. I invite you to check it out. MasculineGeniusInstitute.com. And it's really a complimentary program. As Pope Benedict the 16th said, we're called as men to collaborative complementarity with our sisters in Christ. Let's listen to that again. Collaborative complementarity. That means that women have gifts, men have gifts, and we're called to collaborate. All right, just like Adam and Eve. And Dr. Deborah Savage was the first to speak, and she talked about this collaboration that was in the garden, that God gave Adam dominion over the animals, and he had power over everything that God created. And he was, you know, entrusted with that, a steward of everything, to name the animals. And when he brought Eve to the man, it didn't become this power struggle. It became this collaborative complementarity where the woman was there to help the man, to encourage the man, to guide the man at times, at times, support as helpmate. And beautifully articulated, Deborah did, and Dr. Deborah Savage is really the guru on The Mask and Genius, but she's been unpacking this for a long time through the book of Genesis, and just the words in Greek and Hebrew and what it all means for us. The women are called to join the man in the work that God gave him, to be a part of that, and to nurture in ways that men cannot, right? As men are given different gifts, the women, it becomes truly that heart of that home, that first family, right? She became the heart. And whereas Augustine talked about men being the head, and indeed man is the head as God set it up by design, they complement the heart. You know, the heart and the head go together. One is not above, one is not, you know, better than the other, I should say. And so that heart needs to be with the head. And so we talked about all these things, and then we dive deeply into ancient Greek thought and what the Greeks thought about manhood. And we unpacked Homer's Iliad, you know, the Battle of Troy, right? The Trojan War. We talked about what did the Greeks understand about manhood. Very interesting things emerged from this presentation. But as we talked about manhood through the lens of the history, the antiquity of the church, we started to see a common theme. And it began with Deborah Savage, this complementarity that somehow by design, and I don't know why this is seemed, you know, an enlightening or illuminating idea, because it isn't. It's been around forever, but I think we've lost it. Whereas it's almost as if the man and the woman, the man and the woman, are like a jigsaw puzzle. And one does not make sense without the other. Okay, they fit perfectly together. And when they both support one another in their roles, leader, protector, provider, men, as John F. Bankovic would say for women, trust, surrender, receptivity. In those roles, think of Mary and Jesus. You know, just think of just, you know, mother with son, queen and king. You think of just the complementarity there, how things work really well together. And we started to see this through the lens of Thomas Aquinas, St. Augustine. I was blessed to give that presentation. And we see that men have specific roles, roles that are only proper to them to do certain things. And where women invade that or men invade women, that's where things get a little off. You know, we get confused. We get disoriented. We get the situation we have today, transgender bathrooms. We have, you know, the whole LGBT movement, the confusion of our sexuality and who we are as male and female. You see, when we stop listening to the teachings of the church and what has been passed on through saints and prophets and wonderful writers, theologians, and popes, that they've all throughout the history of the church have affirmed this collaborative complementarity, which John Paul II, when we had a presentation on that, beautiful presentation from Dr. Pete Colosi. What did he do? He took the autobiography of John Paul II and biographies on John Paul II. And he talked about not from his own theological writings, but from his own story of his life, how John Paul II was formed as a man. And he said his formation, his first seminary, was the quarry he worked in Krakow. That's where he learned how to be a man. I remember his dad died when he was very young. So he said that his first seminary was the quarry. I thought that was very interesting, and so did Dr. Colosi. He thought that was very powerful. And he talked about different men, priests and laymen, that were in his life that witnessed to him in a powerful way what manhood was. And again, we went from, you know, Hebraic thought all the way up to John Paul II and everything in between. We talked about chivalry. We talked about the feudal system and what we learned during the feudal system about manhood. We talked about knighthood. And what did that teach us? How did that emerge? Guess what? That emerged from the church. After Thomas Aquinas, the medieval period, we had this feudal system which emerged from the church. The church gave us that in a very real sense. The knighthood. You know, these knights were called for the Crusades and to defend the Holy Land. And these men were summoned forth. And they had the code of chivalry. And they had all these wonderful things that they did. And it was a language that was spoken among the men. And we dived into the Chanson de Roland, the Song of Roland, that was believed to be comprised by probably a clergyman. And it's anonymous. We don't really know who wrote it, but it had everything to do with honor, loyalty, brotherhood, service, dying to self. And we just talked about all these wonderful things. And these are all characteristics for manhood. And so the Masculine Genius Institute launched its first summit, and we will do future summits. We'll do another one. We'll do one next year, hopefully at Steubenville, Franciscan University of Steubenville. We'll do one there from more dealing with boys and transitioning from boyhood to manhood. But for this inaugural one, we recorded all the talks. We're going to make them available, and we're going to publish all the data, all the research. And so Dr. Chavez and myself are going to organize all this data, and we're gonna publish it. We're gonna have that available to the church, and then we're gonna do a secondary publication. We're gonna do some reports and recommendations and findings as a result of what we learned. And so what we're gonna do is we're gonna offer this to the church, and we're gonna make it available. We're gonna make it available to every diocese that wants it. It's gonna be a wonderful gift, and it's all coming from the wonderful work of many people collaborating together, men and women, on how we can best continue to fortify God's plan for man and woman. And so that was the Masculine Genius Institute in Chicago, May 18th to the 20th. So it's appropriate that May 18th is the birthday of John Paul II. And there we were talking about collaborative complementarity, some of the things that John Paul II put forward in his Theology of the Body, those 229 Papal Wednesday audiences that he did from 1980 to 1984, roughly, and that we call the Theology of the Body. And there we were on his birthday coming together to continually discuss and unpack. We talked about the neuroscience of manhood. We talked about, the early contemporary popes of the 20th century and what they had to say and how it was important for men to have property and to protect the rights of property for men. And how they were very concerned in the early 20th century, both Pope Benedict XV, Pope Leo XIII, Pope Pius X, St. Pope Pius X, and Pius XI, with the modesty that would be betrayed in the coming years. They were very concerned in the turn of the century how this would affect, the men of the culture, the family dynamics, and they were on guard, at that point, saying, beware. And boy, were they not prophetic in the betrayal of fashion throughout the 20th century and what it's done. We've brought literally pornography to the marketplace, and it's kind of commonplace here. We don't think much about it. We kind of just accept it. I think we're desensitized. We're numb to the scantily clad attire that has become very much the norm, and we've lost that sense of mystery that a woman maintains, and even men need to be honest with themselves and not be immodest. And now it's a little different, of course. We need to protect that which is most sacred. And so the sacred parts of a woman's body, the parts that feed a newborn babe and that brings life into the world, of course we need to protect those. And of course we need to protect them for ourselves as men. But this is something the popes were talking about back in this turn of the 20th century. And it's affected manhood today. It's affected femininity. And we talked about a lot about that at the Masculine Genius Institute. So, again, collaborative complementarity, visit MasculineGeniusInstitute.com if you'd like to learn more. All right, let's dive into Samson. The Samson Retreat. Our 10th Samson Retreat is coming back to Camden Diocese, Hamilton, New Jersey, July 21st through the 24th. If you want to come to this, we want you to be there. We want to create a space for you. This is a healing retreat that the Kingsmen designed really out of need, necessity. We saw so many men coming to our End of the Wild programs, our small men's groups, and we said, we need a retreat to really help these men go deeper, to go to the place of the wound in their lives and really invite Christ into that place. And we've seen in over 9 retreats, amazing healing coming into the lives of the men. And we know the power of the Eucharist, and so we bring the men to Jesus for the healing. It's not counseling. It's not anything like that. It's everything to do with bringing men to Jesus. And so we create a sacred space where men can listen to Jesus, where they can listen to other men's stories, they can hear their own story, and they can see how the sharing of their own story could be a blessing in another man's life. And so we call it Samson, and we focus on 2 major themes: the story of Samson, the book of Judges, chapters 13 to 16. That's it. 3 chapters for the prefigurement of Christ, Samson, the judge who ruled over Israel for 20 years. We see our story as men. We see very much our story as men. And we have the second theme of the theology of the cross, right? See, 2,000 years ago, the cross was a symbol of evil. The worst of criminals were put on a cross. And I'm looking at a crucifix right here, and I'm looking at Jesus on the cross. And this was a symbol of evil, of failure. Christ is put on the cross. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega was put on a cross, and it is redeemed. That image is no longer a symbol of evil. It's a symbol of triumph, of success, of glory, redemption. And so what we say at Samson, and this is true for all men and all women, is that despite our past, despite our pain, despite our sinfulness, that there is great hope in the midst of great suffering, that our pain does indeed have purpose, and that God can use all things. And if he can take himself and die the horrific death that he died, and take upon sin, all sin, for all time, all eternity, take it upon himself and redeem all of it, he can do that with our story and with our brokenness and our sinfulness and our past pains, hurts, trials, and struggles. And so that's what we do at Samson. We really help men to understand this. And we build the Stations of the Cross. As I alluded to earlier, we will build that. And we'll really enter into that passion of Jesus Christ. And what does that station that we're assigned have to say to us? Because it's timeless, men. What he did 2,000 years ago has a message for us today. And it's just as meaningful today as it was then. And it's just as powerful today as it was then. Do not, friends, empty the cross of its power. And I think many of us do that. We see sin and, well, suffering, really. We see suffering as something to be avoided. I just sent a powerful quote to a friend of mine. I want to read it here if I can pull it up on the computer. About suffering. I think it's Blessed Suzo, I think. Oh, it's powerful. But anyhow, suffering, again, is not devoid of meaning. And we need to embrace the cross for ourselves. And so, you know, this is going to be very powerful for us as men. If we can start to see our story and the redemption of Christ through it as something of a gift. Now, this takes time. This is a deep level of healing. This isn't something that you just walk into, oh, okay, I was abused as a kid, or I was beaten as a kid, and therefore you see all this as a blessing in your life. No, that's not what we're saying. We're saying that your pain doesn't have to end in the misery of the pain. That through it, somehow, some way, we can see God working through it all. that God's grace, his amazing grace, can work through tremendous evil. So here's the quote. Here's the quote I'll share with you. He who evaluates suffering at its true worth must accept it from God as a precious gift. Let me repeat that. He who evaluates suffering at its true worth must accept it from God as a precious gift. There is many a man who has been revived and roused to live a holy life through suffering. Suffering guards men against grave falls. It gives a man self-knowledge, makes him firm with himself, and compassionate toward his neighbor. Suffering preserves the soul in humility, teaches patience, guards purity, and brings the crown of eternal salvation. That was a quote by Blessed Henry Suso, Dominican, 1366 in the 14th century. Praise the Lord. So we see this at Samson, and I invite you to consider registering if you know somebody who's in deep pain, who has tried a lot of different things, who's finally just said, you know, I'm at my wit's end with this. I don't know where else to turn. Maybe it's time to turn to Christ. You know, in the scriptures, we read about the woman hemorrhaging, and she spent all her money on doctors. And she's hemorrhaging, and she's hemorrhaging, and there is no cure for her hemorrhaging. There's no relief. But she sees Jesus. She reaches out, touches his garment, and she's clean. She's made well. And so maybe that would be someone in your life, maybe that's the story of someone in your life, and you want to invite them to consider Samson. Consider that. Go to samsonretreat.com. The next one, again, July 21st to the 24th. And finally, I want to talk about Hickory Run. So again, the Poconos, August 4th to the 7th, we're going to have Into the Wild at Hickory Run, not too far from our, it's the only one locally that we'll have. We have one in Virginia, so that's about a four-hour drive, and then there's one up in the Eastern Adirondacks, which apparently is going to be majorly full. They got great recruiting efforts going on up there. Former healing director Matt Ingold is doing an awesome job setting that up. But those are two close ones. But they got about a 3 or 4 hour drive to each. But this one's only less than an hour away from the Upper Bucks area. And you can come with your son. Fathers, come as a single man. It's not just for fathers and sons. Go to intothewildweekend.com and learn more. There's a video on there. You can see a little bit more about the weekend. But we have this $75 special today. If you'd like to get $75 off, you can reach out to me today. And it has to be today if you want to come to this retreat with that discount. And it's $75 off. Again, you can reach out to me, Mark, M-A-R-K, at thekingsmen.org, or you can call me, 267-980-5507, and I would be happy to help you get that. But it has to be today, okay? And again, you're just locking in the discount. If you don't want to come, great. But I just need to lock you in with your contact information. We'll get you there. But again, don't miss the opportunity. The Lord is reaching out to you today. The Lord is casting the net, just like he did with the apostles. You know, throw the nets, put out into the deep. This is the invitation. This is your life, you know, jacket, preserver, whatever. You're being tossed the life-saving device, all right? And it's not the king's men. It's not the retreat. It's Jesus Christ. He's reaching out to you. He wants you to come meet him on the mountain. And in the mountains of the Poconos, we will meet Christ Jesus, and we will adore him, and we will pray as men, rosary, daily mass, orienteering, fishing, archery. We have all these wonderful outdoor experiences that fathers can participate with their sons, and men can participate as single men. Men will be coming from all over the country. Father Jim Torpy will be our chaplain. He was there last year. Wonderful priest from the Diocese of Allentown. He will be there again. We'll have men from all over our area coming. And what a wonderful opportunity to meet these men, to build that brotherhood, to see that you're not alone, that there are men here locally that want to do the same things, that want to live a holy life. I always tell men, if you want to be holy, hang out with someone that's holier than you. See, as a former athlete, if you wanted to be a good athlete, you should work out and compete against athletes that are better than you. All right? It makes sense. It challenges you. It pushes you. If you're just sitting around and working with people who are underachievers, right, in the faith, let's say, they don't really care. Well, guess what? you're not really going to care that much. And or maybe you're going to look at yourself and say, well, I got a better life than him, or I'm not as bad as him. And that's not what the Lord wants. The Lord wants you to grow closer to him. On this feast of St. John the Baptist, the solemnity, where a man truly detached from worldly things, set apart, you know, the greatest of the prophets, went out to encounter the Lord, literally in the desert, to prepare the way of the Lord. The Lord is asking you to do the same as a man today. Where is that desert experience going to be for you? Where is that wilderness? What is it? Are you going to realize it in your life? You know, just remember, death comes like a thief in the night. We never know the time. Many of us thought Kathy was going to be here with us, Kathy Gasson, but she is no longer with us. Men, every day is a gift. Are you going to take advantage of that? Are you going to take advantage of that gift that is offered to you today through these wonderful airwaves at Holy Spirit Radio? And obviously, listening to Holy Spirit Radio is part of that transformation. But there's also opportunities for us to go deeper when we listen to programs like the Kingsmen. And this retreat coming up August 4th through the 7th in the Poconos is just that, one of those other invitations for you as a man to discover your manhood, to come alive. And as St. Irenaeus once said, God's glory is manifest in man fully alive. So you want to meet a man that's fully alive in your family, with your children, with your wife? Who doesn't want that? Why wouldn't you want that? Search your heart, men. Search your souls. Ladies, if you're listening, if you want to invite your husband or a loved one to come to this weekend, again, that offer stands for you. $75 discount. That's a Father's Day special extended today only. On this Friday here, June 24th at Holy Spirit Radio, to those in the audience that want to come to an Into the Wild. It doesn't have to be just the one in the Poconos. You want to come to another one, you can apply it as well. So I got about 30 seconds left. Thank you for listening today. I wish you a blessed summer, and I pray that you take advantage of your downtime. You spend some time with your family, especially this weekend. Really serve your family this weekend, man. As Father Larry said, you know, how can I serve my family when I have this time off? You know, not just to serve myself, but to serve my family. As you think about these things, as we close our time together, pray about it. Ask the Lord to open your heart up to how you can best serve the family. This has been the Kingsmen Radio Program. I'm Mark Halk. I look forward to spending time with you next month. I guess we'll be around Bastille Day, right? July 14th or so. Till then, God bless you.